Minglaba. Good morning. Well, today is our last in our summer preaching series called You Have Heard It Said, Leaving Out the Heart of God based on Jesus' teaching from the Sermon on the Mount, as you have just heard, read from Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Thank you, scripture memorizers and reciters. That was kind of cool, eh? Isn't that kind of cool to know in this congregation we have the Sermon on the Mount in our hearts? I think that's pretty cool. And I also want to say thank you to the preachers from our own congregation and guests from away who have helped us hear well from Jesus what it means to live out God's heart. To wrap up our series today is a text that's often called the Golden Rule, as in it summarizes all the other rules of God and puts it as simply as we can. Kind of handy that that's near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, isn't it? Here it is from Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do unto others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, if that sums up all the law and the prophets, why didn't we just preach on this in the first place? And then move on. This series could have been way shorter, and we could have heard a lot less of what you've had to say, Pastor. Joking, mostly. But in this, there is a question, right? Why does Jesus take on this law-giving role and spend lots of time teaching his followers here and elsewhere about the kinds of attitudes and behaviors that fit with God's reign and his kingdom if a simple summary, do unto others what you would have them do unto you, works? Well, let me explain. I want you to imagine an older couple. And I want you to imagine you're married. Some of you are, some of you are not, but just imagine that. And you respect and look up to this older couple, and especially for their relationship. And you want to learn from their wisdom. So one day you sit them down and you say, listen, tell me, what is the secret? What is the wisdom so that my relationship can be like yours? And they say, oh, it's simply this. Treat each other how you would like to be treated. You would want to hear more, right? You know this couple. You would want to know, what about in times of sickness or difficulty? What about when you're angry or tempted? What about comes of money or conflict or sex? I want to hear more from you. Jesus' summary statement isn't a way to avoid the law and the prophets. It's not a way to avoid God's teaching. And the teachings we disciples need to hear to be part of God's good news people. Jesus' summary statement is a way to underline what is the most important thing in Scripture. What is the important thing that sums up, that runs through every part of the Bible, every part of Jesus' teaching, guiding and shaping all Jesus says and does and all that Jesus would have us say and do. Now, as we hear from Scripture this morning, I could keep using this phrase, do unto others what you would have them do unto you, as that summary, that theme. But our time is short. So good news, because using that many words would get old fast, there is a simpler summary. What does it mean then? What does it look like? What does it sound like to have to do unto others what others would have them do unto you? Love is what it means. The kind of love that Jesus teaches and exemplifies, the kind of love that beats with the heart of God, the kind of love that God wants to get in us and show through us. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to take my word for it. You can hear from Paul in Romans 13, 8 to 10. Hear how he summarizes the law and the prophets. He writes, let no debt remain outstanding except for the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves has fulfilled the law, the commandments. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever commandment there is may be are summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. Where did Paul learn this summary? This underlining of the theme of love, moving and motivating all that commands and the ways of God. Well, he learned it from Jesus' disciples, who learned it from Jesus. Jesus himself put it that way when challenged on the greatest commandment later in Matthew's gospel. For Matthew 22, 37 to 40, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So then if we go looking at all that Jesus has taught in the Sermon on the Mount, we should be able to see the heart of God's love in each part, what it means to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Can you hear the love of God for others as the rhythm of the Sermon on the Mount? Can you hear it in the Beatitudes? Hearing this great invitation and welcome and knowing that we are blessed. Others may look at us in our situations and say there is no way they are blessed. But all are welcomed in. All are favored. All are blessed in God's kingdom. Each of these folks listed there are aiming towards a loving good. Loving good towards God and loving good towards others. They may be heartbroken by the evil and the sins of this world. They may be mourning. They may be not using their strength to get their own way. They may be longing for righteousness to come. They may be showing mercy. They're not devious. They are pure in heart. They work for peace and for justice. They see what is going on in the world and they respond with doing unto others as they would have do unto them. They are responding with love. To love is to live differently. The result of loving others and God is that we're going to live differently. We will be, as Jesus says, salt and light, visible and tangible expressions of God's glory. Love is this motivation of our good deeds as we shine out God's glory and give flavor to all that we do. We are to be seasoned with love. To do unto others as we would have done unto us, to love is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. It's what Jesus has come to do, to fulfill them, to bring them to their purpose. And it is in his love that we see what it means to be righteous. In Jesus, we see love for the sake of the good of the other is the righteousness we need to be welcomed into God's kingdom, the same righteousness God lovingly shares with us as we follow as his disciples. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love. This is what underscores the "you have heard it said" passages. Murdering is wrong, but so is harboring anger in your heart. Why? Because in love we see that people are creatures made in God's image, worthy of respect and dignity, and so anger and hatred and bitterness blinds us to the reality of who it is we are dealing with. Lust demeans a person, turning them into an object who we think is there just to serve us and us alone, and not to glorify God. Divorce exposes people to injustice, makes them vulnerable. Jesus teaches it begins in the hardness of our hearts, where we fail to see the gift of our spouse and marriage, instead just wanting what I want in my way. When we fail to love, we use words to get our own way, even using God's name. When we fail to love, we are looking not for partnership or trust, but control. When we do not live out God's heart for love, we end up seeking revenge and retribution. We want to get even with our enemies and all who have wronged us. And Jesus says, no, love. Love even your enemies. Love finds this incredible, maybe even most radical expression in the love of enemies. Jesus tells us. He knows how we act. We are good to those who are good to us. We love those who love us. It's a weird and wrong and false inverted way of the golden rule. What we would like to operate by if we had our own way is this: I will do unto you as you have done unto me. It makes your behavior towards me how I will treat you. But you end up that way, with tit for tat, with revenge, with retribution. If we always go around taking an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, we will end up blind and toothless. Not so, says Jesus. We are instead to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, to let the expectation of what it means to be loved guide our behavior to others, even those who hurt us, even those who wrong us, even those who are our enemies. Our behavior is to be dictated
by how Jesus shows us what it means to live in God's kingdom, how to live out the heart of God. And so we love our enemies. And so we speak truthfully with a simple yes or no. And so love moves us to treat with gentleness and a soft heart towards our spouses, seeking their good and everyone else as well. Love sees others for who they are, image bearers of God, someone for whom Christ died. Love sees the beauty of our Creator in each creature. Love changes us, shedding anger and bitterness and hatred. Love pursues reconciliation, praying and seeking how God may redeem our relationships. Love. And that's just chapter 5. In chapter 6, we get to hear how love is based in trust and faith that God is good. That's why we can give to others in need. That's why we don't have to go around drawing attention to ourselves in our prayers and our fasting and our giving. That we can be freed up from worry and instead can be moved to act for the good from others. Loving God does that. Trusting God loves us does that, so that we can even risk not needing accolades, just seeking the good of others, just seeking God's glory. The love of God so focuses on God's goodness and glory that we don't care anymore about praise, but only that God is praised. And so the more we see and focus on the love we receive from God, the more we can love God and love our neighbor and end worry in our lives. It begins in love. We hear the same thing in chapter 7. Last week you heard how when we understand how God loves us, we're free to act with compassion, humility, and grace towards one another. We can let go of judgment and condemnation. Being loved frees us from these blinding beams in our own eye. We can take them out and so help one another to be free to see as well how God wants them to live. Love opens our eyes to what blinds us and heals us so that we can see how God is at work and how we can join in. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How do we know how to do that? How do we know how to love? I hope so far you have heard it said again and again in Jesus' teaching and correction and encouragement in the Sermon on the Mount, what it means to love. Because listen, there are a lot of situations not covered. This is why there's also a summary statement here. Without it, we may think, oh good, these are the only situations Jesus has to teach us about. So if I can avoid that, I'm fine. That means I can yell at the people passing me poorly on the shoulder of the highway. It means I can scream at that kid who lets his dog poop on my lawn. Not covered in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm good. No. Jesus knows that all this is for all of life. In everything, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus is making sure we understand that this isn't just for these situations he's covered. It's for all of life. He extends this rhythm of God's heart into all that we do. So it is when we are driving our cars or watching some dog poop on our lawn, while we are waiting in line at the grocery store or sorting out a bill with a company on the phone and they're just not understanding, when we see our neighbors over the fence, when we shop, when we parent, when we work, when we are seen by many and when we are alone. Love is for when we are with friends and for when we are with enemies. Love is to get into us and flip our attitude and our worldview. Love is to be what motivates all of our relationships and actions. So we ask the question, what am I to do then? When we come across these situations that aren't covered here, this summary gives us a great question to ask. When we want to ask, what am I to do? I can go here and say, how would I want to be treated? How do I pastor these wonderful people? Lord, how would you, well, they might say, Chris, how would you like to be pastored? How can I be a good parent, Lord? How would you like to be parented? How do I handle the situation of my marriage? How would you like to be treated in your marriage? Lord, how do I respond to these situations? Chris, how would you like to be treated when you are a stranger, when you need forgiveness, when you're a neighbor or an enemy, when someone has caused you wrong and harm? How would I like to be treated as a fellow image bearer of God's? And everything, as part of God's kingdom people in Jesus, I am to do unto others as I would have them do unto me. Jesus is saying, are you listening? Love. Hear it said, love. Love in everything you do. And this love has a particular shape and focus. It's not Chris's ideas on love or what I would want to do. No, it's what I see in Jesus. Jesus shows us how to love God and love neighbor. Jesus shows us how in everything we are to do to others as we would have them do unto us. We see in the life of Jesus his time he has for people, the welcome and hospitality he has for people. We see Jesus treating each person as this treasured creature of God. We see Jesus' heart being soft towards people, generous. We see Jesus treating people with honor and respect. We see Jesus acting to serve the good of us, to bless. We see Jesus enjoying and delighting in people. Jesus does unto us what we would have, what he would have us do unto him. He lives to love us and to love the Father. And Jesus gives us his life so that we could do the same in him. For love's sake, Jesus came to make known the good news of God. For love's sake, Jesus came to teach and call and disciple, to live and die, yes, but to live again for us. We have heard this invitation to have love be in all that we do. What does it look like? It looks like Jesus, but it's also shaped by the cross. It's cruciform, cross-shaped love. This ability to love so much, to seek the good of others so much that we sacrifice for their good. That's the kind of love Jesus is calling us to. That's the kind of love that needs to be beat, that is beating in God's heart and needs to be the rhythm of our life together as a congregation. Because on the cross, we see the love of God for sinners and enemies like me. Through love has made me into his friend. At the cross, we see the love of God exemplified, accomplishing and fulfilling all righteousness, filling the law and the prophets. There we see the clearest and sharpest focus of do unto others what you would have them do unto you. You have heard it said, and you have heard everything Jesus had to say in the Sermon on the Mount today. And when the crowds finished hearing all that Jesus had said, they are left in awe at his authority. So what would it look like then as well for us to have a response to Jesus' teaching and presence as he leads us into God's kingdom? Is it enough just to be in awe at his authority? Permit me one last lesson from the Sermon on the Mount. It is how Jesus finishes his teaching, and it's important for us as we have heard much and wonder what do we do with all that we have heard. For Matthew 7, 24 to 27, therefore anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Yeah. If we're going to be truly in awe of Jesus, if we're going to hear what he has to say about loving, it's not enough to hear, we are to obey. To recognize the authority of Jesus is to let his words become our life, to put his words into practice. And so Jesus leaves us with this question. Will we be wise or foolish? Will we go by the way of Jesus, the narrow way, the good way, or will we go by the broad way that leads to destruction? Will we just be hearers who think, oh, that was great? Or will we practice the words of Jesus? Will we become his disciples who become more like Jesus as we hear and follow and obey. You have heard it said. Love. Let's pray. Father, we have heard from your word through Scripture. We have heard of what you have said to us through Jesus. We hear your heart. And so we pray, save us from mere awe. Save us from merely recognizing your authority. Save us from being foolish. And save us into being wise in practicing your words. By your Spirit, come and make us faithful to the vision of your kingdom, the embrace of your redemption, the formation of us as your people as we hear, are in awe, and obey, placing ourselves under your authority so that our hearts may beat as yours does. Our lives may be in tune with your life, that we would love as we see you, Jesus, loving. For you are our Savior, our Lord, and our teacher, and our friend. And we see in you the sacrificial, humble, gracious love you have done for the good of others and for your glory, O Father. God, I pray and ask a dangerous prayer that this very day and this week you would give us opportunities to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Give us opportunities to love as Jesus did and Jesus does. God, I pray this knowing this will mess up our lives in the best possible way because you have come to teach us, to sort us out, and to transform us into your people. We know it won't be easy, so Father, again, pour out your Spirit that we may be able to do as we have heard you say. Make us your people, shaped by the cross, so that we may do unto others what we have seen Jesus doing to us. Amen.